time. Take our Bibles. If you would, turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke 24. Luke 24. This is, for many of you, I'm sure, a familiar passage. Luke 24. And if you have a heading in your Bible, as some publishers like to do, put a heading, sometimes you'll see something, Jesus ministers to the weary travelers, or the road to Emmaus, or something like that. So you'll see that theme as we read through this passage, and hopefully we'll look at a few different things here tonight in our study. But let's begin reading Luke 24, and we'll begin with verse 13. We'll read down a little bit. Luke 24, verse 13, the scripture says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, and as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that you would minister to us tonight. And Lord, through your Holy Spirit, that you would minister just as was ministered to these weary travelers along the way. Father, we pray that you would just strengthen us, Lord, as we look throughout this world. We look through our own personal lives with times of struggle, with sickness, with financial issues, with all things in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would help us to find hope in you and find it in you alone, and that Christ we would deliver to all those around us, that we would be speaking of him and that we would be honoring him in all that we do. We pray that you would bless us this evening in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we, like I said, this is a familiar story, but we come to this story of these travelers that are coming along the way. If you read through the book of Luke, you'll find a familiar theme that Luke presents Christ as the Son of Man. He presents and emphasizes his incarnation and his humanness. So we find this story, and this story is only recorded in the book of Luke. We see that there are several different post-resurrection appearances. 10 is what is counted throughout the Gospels. But this is an interesting one, and I find it very encouraging. And I want to speak tonight on Christ ministers to weary travelers. Christ ministers to weary travelers. You ever felt weary in this world? You know, we've talked about that a lot, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better. You know, we look at the news, we see all these different things, but we know that Christ is able to bring us through all these things. We know that in Peter and in James and all these different books that were written, it says don't be surprised when these things should happen, to think as something strange came upon you. Don't be surprised about it. And I think there's a couple of reasons why we can get weary, why we can get disillusioned as to what is going on in our world. For number one, I think there's the disappointment of unmet expectations. Number one, the disappointment of unmet expectations. And that's what we find here in this passage. We find, first of all, that these people had an interesting view of what was supposed to happen. David Gooding, in a commentary, said this: death and resurrection form no part of their concept of Messiah's office and program. So that was the thought that was in these people's minds, as well as we just thought about on Sunday, Palm Sunday, the people who were praising the King of Israel, who was coming triumphantly into Jerusalem, right? They weren't thinking he was coming to suffer, to be a lamb as the other lambs that were being slaughtered. They didn't think of that. Let me continue this quote. Which is why they had not really taken in what Jesus had said about his coming death. They were hoping for a Messiah who would break the imperialist dominion of the Romans by force of arms. A Messiah who managed to allow himself to be caught by Jewish authorities, handed over to the Romans, and crucified before he had even begun to organize any guerrilla operations, popular uprisings, or open warfare. What use was he? If the Old Testament prophesied of a liberator who should not die but be triumphant, Jesus was already disqualified because he had died. After that, it was almost irrelevant to talk about the resurrection. So this was the expectation that they had, that Jesus, or the Messiah of some sort, was going to come in and conquer and reign as King David would have reigned, that he would have continued the line of King David, which in truth Jesus does, but not at this point. There's a bigger thing that's needed than some political demolition of the people in charge, some rising of the law of God at that point, but there is more that needs to be done. There needs to be a satisfaction of God's wrath, a satisfaction that brings salvation. So let's talk about these two. Like many today, these two on the road saw the glory of the kingdom, but they didn't understand the suffering. It is clear, as we'll look at this next section of this passage, that Cleopas and his friend, they didn't believe the resurrection had happened. They heard the reports. They heard from the women who saw him at who saw the empty sepulcher. They heard of all the others who had all of this evidence of Jesus was no longer in the tomb. But they still didn't believe. They were given account after account of people who were with Jesus that after he was alive. But they themselves did not believe. Their doubts were not subsided by the overwhelming amount of evidence. And that's something that some people get into in apologetics and evangelism, that if we just give people facts, if we give them all the information that proves the truth that it'll convince people to become Christians. That's not always the case. We think of, again and again, as it says that the Jews required what? They required signs. Jesus gave them signs, right? And the Greeks, they require what? They require wisdom. Jesus had all of that. Jesus showed them that. Obviously, the Bible gives all of that. But they still didn't believe. It was a heart issue. It was an issue of them not realizing their own spiritual state, of them being brought to a place of repentance and faith. These people were stuck in their own preconceived idea of a political warrior king and not a suffering savior. Matthew Henry writes on this. He said, "If hope deferred makes the heart sick, hope disappointed. Especially such a hope kills the heart. But see how they made that ground of their despair, which, if they had understood it aright, was the surest ground of their hope. And that was the dying of the Lord Jesus. We trusted, say they, that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. And is it not he that doth redeem Israel? Nay, is it he not by his death paying the price of their redemption? Was it not necessary, in order to have his saving Israel from their sins, that he should suffer? Stop that now, since that most difficult part of his undertaking was got over. They had more reason than ever to trust that this was he that should deliver Israel. Yet now they are ready to give up the cause." So we see the story here that Jesus walks among these travelers. And let's go back to our text to look at some of these things. Let's read verse 15 of Luke 24. "And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason," so these were the people that had walked with Jesus, and they're talking together, and they're reasoning, and they're thinking about why this happened. "Then Jesus shows up. Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him." So their eyes weren't open to see who he was. And there's examples of that throughout Scripture. He talks about sometimes where there's parables given so that people are not able to understand some of them. There are different examples where people cannot see what is actually happening. They can't see reality. Verse 17, "And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things?" I find this a little bit humorous. You can think about any story that everyone knows about. Oh, you walk up to somebody and say, "Oh, have you heard about Ukraine? Or have you heard about COVID?" And he says, "What? What are you talking about?" Could you think of walking up to somebody like that? I'm sure there's somebody like that, but most everybody would know about those stories. And it's the same magnitude of this story. A Jew crucified during the Passover week, while there are 2 million Jews, probably something about that, in Jerusalem. And the very previous week, he was being lifted up as the king of the Jews, as the one who was going to save Israel. And that's what these people thought. And this traveler comes up to them, and he has no idea what they're worried about. I find it somewhat humorous. Obviously, this is Jesus in a glorified body, so obviously he knows that. Even as Jesus incarnate, he would have known what was going on. He knows everything. He's God, right? So he knew. But he was trying to teach them something. He had a point. This wasn't just something to be amusing or just something to be annoying that some people might do. But he was teaching them something. And then we see the story where he goes in, the people go into explaining who Jesus was from their perspective. And in verse 21 it says, "But we trusted that it had been." They lost hope. They didn't believe anymore. Maybe they had believed before, but now they lost hope that he would have been the one to redeem Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So they knew what day it was. They knew that he had prophesied that he would rise, what? On the third day. And this is the same day that Jesus had risen. If you read the beginning of the chapter, that's when other people saw him. The same day, as we read back in, I believe it was verse 13. This is the same day. So, what are they to do? Jesus, as we continue to read through, he begins to expand on some of the scriptures that they were supposed to know. And we think about what he could have went through. Some people have speculated about all the different things. Some people have said that he could go through all of the books and go through that. I don't know how much time this took for him to go through different portions of scripture. But we think about a few. We think of Psalm 22, Jesus' words from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? That applies that to Jesus. He said that on the cross. I think ultimately of Isaiah 53. I'm sure he would have went through that. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, who hath believed our report? And to who is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's verse 1. There were a lot of people that didn't believe who Jesus was. They didn't believe that he was who he said he was. After all the miracles, after all the signs, even after raising Lazarus from the dead. On Sunday, I preached on John 12. On John 12, you see that there are people that were there on Palm Sunday that had just seen Lazarus raised from the dead. So they were continuing to follow Jesus. They're like, this guy can raise people from the dead? The one who can raise people from the dead? Surely he can overthrow Caesar. That's what they thought. But the very next week, what did they do? Crucify him. Crucify him. They didn't believe him. They had lost hope as well. Verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah 53 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. They got the prospering part. They got the kingdom part. They got the pleasure of the Lord part. But they didn't get the bear his iniquities part. They didn't get the travail part. They didn't get the offering of his soul, of his body for the sins of the world part. They missed all that. And there's so many scriptures that talk about us suffering for Jesus' sake. And we don't like those verses, right? It's hard sometimes to think about those. It's hard to think about us just trying to do the right thing, about trying to please the Lord. And sometimes it doesn't seem like God's blessing us. Sometimes we don't see the success that we think we were promised. And in reality, there is success in serving Jesus. Just sometimes it's not what we think it looks like. And that's what these people here didn't see. They didn't see that Jesus had fulfilled every single thing that he was supposed to do. He was actively obedient in fulfilling all of the law. And he was passively obedient in accepting the punishment of sin of the whole world on himself. They didn't see that. Number two, I want us to see the discouragement of unbelief and delayed understanding. The discouragement of unbelief and delayed understanding. Let's look at verse 22 of Luke 24 again. We'll look back at Luke 24 again. We'll see verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And began at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I find this very precious, that Jesus waited to open their eyes until he had shown them in the scripture the hope, the prophecy, all the things that they needed to continue on, to gain hope, to get back on their road to service, was found in God's word. It was all found there. I find it beautiful that Jesus expounded unto them the scriptures. And in this day and age, we think of some different churches and preachers and different things, and different people looking for hope and different things, and they think they need a self-help talk or some motivational speech or some psychiatrist or something like that to help them, to give them hope. But Jesus went to what? The scriptures. He showed them from the scriptures their hope, that Jesus was who he said he was. I find that significant. A.B. Simpson, a preacher, he wrote this. He said, there is much precious significance in this. The Lord is often present in our lives in things that we do not dream possess any significance. We are asking God about something which needs his mighty working. And the very instrument by which he is to work is by our side. Perhaps for weeks and months and years, all unrecognized, until someday it suddenly grows luminous and glorious with the very presence of the Lord and becomes the mighty instrument of his victorious working. He loves to draw. He loves to show his hand through the unexpected. Often he keeps us from seeing his way until just before he opens it. And then immediately that is unfolded, we find that he was walking by our side in the very thing long before we even suspected its meaning. Sometimes we think of these different things in our lives that we're struggling through, and we ask the Lord to help us or to provide for us in different things, and the very thing that he has brought into our life to provide or to teach us something or to bring significance or hope is there all along. We don't suspect it. Our eyes are closed to see it. But one day, someday, the Holy Spirit illumines our heart to see that God was using that same thing all along to bring us hope, to bring us significance. Sometimes I tell the teens about how the Lord provides sometimes. I talk about in Bible college, there were times when I wasn't sure how I was going to pay my bill. I went to college, and unfortunately my parents weren't able to help me that much, but I thank them for all the prayer and support and everything that they were able to give me. But there were times when I would pray, and I wouldn't be sure how I was going to pay my bill. Sometimes it was someone back home in a church that would send me a check. And that was great. That was God's blessing. And I thank the Lord for those times. There were other times when as I tell the teens, that provision came in the form of overtime at work, in the form of maybe a second job. There were times where God was providing for my needs, but it wasn't the way that I thought it should have been done, or the way that most people think, oh, he'll send you a check, or the school will say, oh, it's written off. Sometimes it's just God giving you extra work. Sometimes it's God giving you the health and strength to continue in that work. And I thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, I graduated debt-free, and I thank the Lord for that. And just sometimes we think about all these different things in our lives that we don't see it yet, but God's using that. It might seem tough, it might seem hard, but he'll use it to bring him glory, and it'll also be for your good. So let's look back at this story as we continue to see where they should have seen some of these different things. We know Isaiah 9:6 prophesies of the Messiah who would come, and the birth of Jesus Christ lines up exactly with all of those prophecies. We know also in Isaiah 7, Daniel also gives basically up to the date of when he was to make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. That's why a lot of liberal scholars, unfortunately, say Daniel's was written way after the fact. Daniel couldn't have written it because it's so accurate. It's God. It's right. So we see here again that there are prophecies being fulfilled. I looked at 2 Samuel 7, and it talks about the kingdom of David would continue. 2 Samuel 7, verse 12 says, "And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So this speaks of Solomon, but it also speaks of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who would come after him. And his kingdom shall not cease. So we talked about some of these things, and I want to go to our last point, which is going to be the dramatic change wrought from the expounding of the scriptures. I touched on this a little bit, that sometimes our unbelief and our delayed understanding of a situation brings disappointment. But there's a dramatic change that comes from the understanding of the scriptures in this story, and often in our lives. Let's look at our text again, beginning at verse 27. It says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So those people who want to divorce the Old Testament from Christianity, Jesus thought highly of the Old Testament. So we need to stick with it. Let's jump down to verse 32. Verse 32. This is after Jesus had gone away from their sight. In verse 31, the travelers here say one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Like I said before, I want to bring your attention back to it, that it's interesting that Jesus did not automatically reveal himself, that he didn't just show them who he was like he did to the others. In fact, the scriptures say their eyes were prevented from seeing who he was. And like I said, based on the wording, or like I said, it's was that their eyes were closed. And I want to add to that a little bit. To me, based on the language and the wording, that this was not an act of their own will or an act of even Satan. But God wanted to direct their faith in the resurrection to the Word of God. That's what the language suggests here. Not experience, not logic, not a miracle or a parable, but the overwhelming instruction in the Old Testament and how and what would happen when the Messiah came. Some of those things are important, and Jesus used that. He used parables and different things. But what Jesus sought here to basically bring these people to a point where they saw the truth of the resurrection and the truth of the gospel was the scriptures. It was what was written that Jesus held them to account for. When Jesus spoke with the Pharisees, he spoke to them from the book of from the books of Moses. He pointed them as, even though this was written 1,200 years before your time, you're accountable to that because that is how God spoke to you. He says, "Have you not read what God spoke to you from the law and the prophets?" So Jesus points out again the importance of Scripture. This was burning in their heart, the people say here. This is the one, Jesus Christ, who their ancestors would have longed for, who the prophets spoke of. It was a wonderful thing that we see Jesus Christ here expounding. And this is the same word that would be used for homiletics, for preaching. That's what preaching is to be, is to expound what the Scripture says. And what we are to do in all of our teaching is expounding what the Scripture says, not using Scripture as a springboard to teach our agenda or to seek to use it for other means, but to preach and teach what it actually says. So there's another thing that is said here as well in the expounding. It's the same word used for translating. Jesus literally uses all of these examples and all of these truths from the Old Testament and applies them to himself. So sometimes we can read the Old Testament as moral stories and moral tales, and there's parts of that in there for sure. But we need not leave out the parts that connect with Christ. Christ is everywhere in the Old Testament. We need to see that as well in our instruction and in our teaching. Many follow Jesus after this method. We think of Peter, who often uses Old Testament examples and applies it to Christ. Stephen, in his great sermon before he is stoned to death, what did he do? He did basically the same thing Jesus does here, starting with Moses and through all of the prophets, told them of who Christ was and what it meant for them. What did they do? They stoned him. Paul did the same thing in many of his writings, again and again and again, using Old Testament examples to bring them to the person of Christ. Jesus said this throughout his ministry, not just here. John 5, 38 through 40, he says, "And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." There's a lot of people who have Bible knowledge. There's a lot of people who know a lot about scriptures. Liberal colleges are full of them. A lot of churches are full of them. They think in the words of scripture and in just understanding, having a head knowledge of what it says, they have life. And that's what Jesus is pointing out. But they don't realize who all of it is pointing to, Jesus Christ. That's what's needed, that we look unto him and be saved, all the ends of the earth. So I want to ask you tonight, as I'm trying to go through all of this and encourage you this evening, as we look at Scripture, as we study it, does it burn in your heart? When's the last time you were reading or you were in a sermon or in a service, listening to a sermon, and the Word of God burned in your heart? It just lit a fire to just think about the goodness of God, to think about what he's done for us, to think of what he has promised for us. When's the last time the Word of God did that for you? I know we have many Bible students in here, and I hope that does that for you every day. But I hope you also show that to others around you, to the younger children and teenagers and young adults in our congregation, that need to see people who believe and have conviction about the Word of God. We need that in this day and age, very, very much. Are you affected by the things of this world, that you are discouraged, walking around sad, woe is me, like Eeyore, you know, sourpuss? It's easy to be like that. It's easy to get cynical. I tell you what, it's so easy to get cynical in this day and age. But we need to go back to the Scripture and have it burn in our hearts so that we can not have the world affect us, but we can affect the world. If you've not had that recently, can't think of the last time, I would encourage you to pray and then study. Study. I think sometimes we can get caught up in a routine of reading the scriptures, and That's great. We need to read the scriptures. That's what the children of Israel were commanded to do. That's what the church is commanded to do. Read the scriptures. But we're also commanded to meditate on it, to study it, to study to show ourselves approved, to rightly divide the word of truth. All of those things are important as well, not just for a head knowledge, but so that it transforms our hearts. And then from there, live it out. Tell others and show the conviction of the word of God in your hearts and your lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And God, I just thank you. I'm humbled as I come to this passage and just think of these weary travelers. And God, I'm convicted at times when I see things around us or even day-to-day lives, things that we go through and I go through, that, Lord, we need to stop and think on Jesus. That, Lord, we would allow your word and all the things that you have prepared for us and all the promises that you have for us in the here and now, that, Lord, we claim those things, that, Lord, we obey you and all that is commanded of us, and, Lord, that we tell others of your goodness and the offer of salvation that is offered to them. Father, we pray that you would bless us tonight in our prayer time, and, Lord, we pray that you would be with Pastor as well as with Brother Jim Oliphant and Sister Elsa as well. We pray, Lord, that your will would be done. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name.